Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
New York has its title, the 2026 NBA champion New York Knicks. For complete championship coverage, insight, reaction, and everything orange and blue, stay with The Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM-HD1, New York, an Odyssey sports station. The wait is finally over. The New York Knicks are NBA champions. For complete championship coverage from the station that lived every moment of the journey, stay with The Fan.
Tommy Lou Gehrig.
Start dart.
I love Tommy.
No biggie.
Yeah, dude's dog's damage.
I believe in positive Tommy.
Oh, I've been working nights.
They call me Tommy the Rationalizer.
We all know Tommy Lugauer is a generational talent.
It's After Hours with Tommy Lugauer on The Fan.
Say it, honey.
All right, let's go. Tommy Lugauer. We'll get to the Knicks in just one second here, but if you want to hop on the line now and share your emotions and everything that you've gone through over the last couple of days, once the Knicks won a championship on Saturday night and we're only, well, once the clock strikes midnight, we'll only be a day away from the parade down the Canyon of Heroes starting at 10 a.m. Battery Park, and then, of course, culminating City Hall, the keys to the city, all the big speeches, all the pomp and circumstances for our beloved New York Knicks as they went on a run that will never be forgotten. And this is a beloved team with a superstar that I believe is the best in the sport right now. Although when I turn on the television and watch the national media, they're going to tell me that he's not the best player in the sport. But Jalen Brunson is absolutely the best player in the NBA right now. There's nobody else you'd rather have with the ball in his hands. With 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, he's doing things in the fourth quarter that we've seen from Jordan and Kobe. When you talk about active players and how prolific they are in the playoffs, nobody can touch what Jalen Brunson has done as far as winning, as far as productivity. And then the fourth quarter, whether it's regular season, whether it's playoffs, Jalen Brunson owns that quarter. And in my estimation, he is the best player in the NBA right now. So if you want to hop on, if you haven't heard from me yet, because perhaps this is a different audience here, you know, 11 to 2 a.m. I've already been on Saturday night when they won the championship, the Knicks did. I was on Sunday into Monday, the overnight. And then last night, five-hour Big Lugowski, a five-hour after hours. So sometimes the audience has changed depending on the night it is. So this might be the first time you have an opportunity to talk to me since the Knicks have won a championship. So if you want to do that, 888-808-1019. Now, as far as the Yankees, it started off as a bad day for the Yankees. They got a couple of pieces of injury news, but it ended in an emphatic positive way as they completely mauled the White Sox. And this is not, you know, your younger brother's White Sox. This is a White Sox team that is actually good. They're actually spunky. And after a few years of being historically awful, the White Sox, you wouldn't know it watching them tonight, but they are having a good season and they are a team on the rise. But the Yankees completely and utterly picked them apart. I'll start with Ben Rice, who is having an MVP-type season. And now that Judge is going to miss all this time, to me, it's Ben Rice's award to lose. And there's a good shot that the Yankees have the MVP of the American League and the Cy Young of the American League. And oh, by the way, they're both extremely young players. They are pillars of this franchise. And I tip my cap, and I think Brian Cashman, I think the minor league system, the scouting department, all deserve kudos for this because Aaron Judge is still in the prime of his career, but he's not going to play forever. You know, he's in his mid-30s. If you get another 5, 6, 7 years from him in his career, I think that's about right. and all of those years will not be the prime of his career. So you have to be thinking about today, but you always want to be thinking about tomorrow as well. And when you look at Schlittler and you look at Rice, to me, that is two pillars, both as a pitcher and an offensive player, that can lead this Yankee team into the next 10, 15 years and long after Aaron Judge is gone. And Ben Rice has just been absolute, because he plays every single day. That's not to take anything away from Cam Schlittler, who's built different and just insane as far as his abilities. But Rice is in there day in and day out. And you wondered, Judge goes out, now it's Ben Rice's team. You get injury news today on Stanton. You get injury news on Grisham. There's continued injuries to pile up here, but Ben Rice has been that guy that has been so consistent in this lineup and is the MVP of the American League. Now, before the season started, I suggested that Ben Rice would hit, or predicted that he would hit 40 home runs. I have to apologize to Ben Rice. I sold him short. I should have predicted 50 home runs because he's well on his way to that. He's already at 20 home runs, and we haven't even hit the 4th of July. We're not even at the midway point of the season, and Ben Rice is already to the halfway point of my prediction for him for this season. That's how great he's been. I can't say enough amazing things about him. Now let me get to Spencer Jones. Spencer Jones has an opportunity here to be such an X factor for the Yankees. Now, it's been a mixed bag. When he was first up here, he looked overmatched. He looked like he couldn't hit big league pitching. But in the second go-round here, Spencer Jones has looked a heck of a lot better. And you're starting to see that power that he possesses. That is, I'm not comparing him to Aaron Judge, but he has the type of power that Aaron Judge has. We'll see if he can become the complete baseball player that Aaron Judge is. The Yankees can only be so lucky if that's the case, and thankful if that's the case. And then if you have him and Rice, Spencer Jones and Rice, now forget about it. You really have a three-headed monster to go along with Aaron Judge. And oh, by the way, Bellinger. And oh, by the way, Stanton. And this lineup starts to get lengthier, which was always sort of the issue with the Yankees is, okay, you have Judge. Obviously, when they had Soto, when Stanton is healthy, you have Bellinger. Even if you add Rice, you still need guys throughout the lineup in order to hit when you get to October. You want to be 7, 8, 9 deep if possible. And with the emergence now of Spencer Jones, Ben Rice having an MVP season, Aaron Judge, I would expect back mid-August, and you'll get a well-rested Aaron Judge who's primed and ready to go for a stretch run and a run through October. Now let me get to Paul Goldschmidt, a guy that you've heard me talk about a lot on this show, and I'm going to continue to talk about him because he's a borderline Hall of Famer. He's a pro's pro. He reminds me of those guys in the 90s that were stars before they got to the Yankees, and then they took on more of a part-time role with the team, but then they excelled in that role. I mean, not only has Paul Goldschmidt done that, but now he's just looking like a bona fide stud. This looks like the Paul Goldschmidt winning MVPs and putting together a borderline Hall of Fame career. Now, the only thing I will say about Goldschmidt before I give this stat is that he is an aging player. And much like last year when he got off to a hot start, and I thought about this as well at that time, you wonder if the wear and tear of a long season, you start to get to the dog days of August, the stretch run, you wonder if Paul Goldschmidt, because he is an aging player, will he be able to continue a pace like he is on right now? That might be a little bit too much to ask for, but one thing I know about Paul Goldschmidt is he's going to give you a professional at-bat. He's going to mash lefties. I mean, he's Babe Ruth against lefties. He's Barry Bonds against lefties. He's Aaron Judge. He's Shohei Ohtani against lefties. He's unbelievable against lefties. But right now, Paul Goldschmidt is great against everybody. Listen to this. In 146 games last year, 10 homers, 45 RBIs for Paul Goldschmidt. In 46 games this year, so 100 less games, Goldschmidt, 10 home runs, 33 RBIs. He has as many home runs in 46 games this year that he had in 146 last year, and 12 less RBIs in 100 less games. I mean, it can't be overstated how important Paul Goldschmidt has been to this team. And much has been made, and I made a lot about it, the Yankees running it back. The run it back Yankees. Running back a team that didn't even make it to the ALCS last year, or a team that didn't make it to the World Series. But when you look at the players they brought back, The one that, obviously, Bellinger, I put him in a different category because he was highly sought after and certainly would have made sense for a lot of teams, including the two locals. But Goldschmidt was absolutely the right decision bringing him back. Leadership, great bat off the bench, great against lefties, great defensively. I can't imagine in his wildest dreams, though, Brian Cashman thought through 46 games that Paul Goldschmidt would be putting up the numbers he's putting up. I don't think he's going to do it, but he could hit 30 home runs at this pace. It's insane. This is the Paul Goldschmidt that in the prime of his career in Arizona and with the Cardinals, that was an MVP candidate, won an MVP, was a borderline Hall of Famer in terms of the numbers he was putting up. It's insane. And with so much goodwill right now with the Knicks, as we inch closer and closer to the parade, and I've talked about this with the Knicks, and I've thrown these numbers out there, and some people think I'm crazy, some people think I'm not crazy, but bare minimum, speaking of parades, because we're talking about the Yankees, and they know a thing or two about parades, I expect bare minimum 3 million people at the Yankee, at the Knick parade. Bare minimum. 3 million. I could see it getting up to 5 million. And several reasons. Number one, 53 years. The drought is over. And oh, by the way, and I said this too before the series was, I was right basically about everything. I'm not going to sit here and brag about every single take I had before the series, but I nailed every single one of them, including this one. The ratings were going to be through the roof. And the NBA put this out today. Knicks Spurs was the most watched final since 1998. If you're wondering, 1998, yes, that was Michael Jordan's last finals appearance. 1998, MJ, the greatest of all time in most people's estimations. That was his swan song, his last dance, and that had the highest ratings there for all these years, and then obviously the Knicks and Spurs eclipsed that, which you knew they would because the biggest market, New York, a 53-year drought, people want to see Wemby, he's a draw. It had all the makings, two likable teams, although certainly one team came out a heck of a lot more likable than the other. A fresh matchup. There's no fatigue with either team. So I'm not stunned at all that these numbers were what they were. I predicted they would be through the roof, and they were. And that, I feel the same way about the parade. 53-year drought. The team, the only team in New York that unifies all of us. We know we're divided on baseball. We know we're divided on hockey. We know we're divided on football. We're not divided on basketball. It unites the city, the Knicks does. Then you have the drought, like I talked about. You have a situation where this is a beloved Knick team that was built the right way. And then, yes, of course, people traveling from all around the country, all around the globe, especially with the gap between Saturday and Thursday, that's enough time to get to New York. It wasn't like it was a two-day turnaround, which you could still do, but in order to get your ducks in a row, some people have lives, they can't just leave, they have to get ducks in a row, and then they can do something special like this, which is attend a parade, the first time the Knicks have won a championship in 53 years. And it's been a minute across the four major sports since we've had a parade here, which leads me to my next point. And it's a two-parter. When you have runs like this in New York, the Yankees know this better than anybody, you have front-running fans. You have bandwagon fans. I mean, that's the Yankees. We all know that. A lot of people that you see running around with Yankee jerseys are not locked in every single game watching the games. They'll show up in October. They'll show up at Billy's and Stan's. They'll show up with their camera, and they'll act like they've been there from day one when we know they haven't. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way, but we all know that's how it goes because the Yankees have been a winner year in and year out since the early 90s. So when you have that type of brand, when you have that type of success, you of course are going to have a massive fan base, but you're also going to have bandwagon fans that want to just be there for the party, for the celebration, to be there because it's the in crowd, it's the cool thing to do. Well, Thursday, that's the cool place to be. So yes, you're going to have millions and millions and millions of Knick fans from all across the world attending this parade in this great city. But you're also going to have bandwagon fans, people that just were along for the ride, that just want to be there to party, to have a celebration, to be outside, as they say. And then another thing I think you got to factor here, You could throw out all the numbers about the Rangers in 94 or the Yankee dynasty in the 90s or the last Yankee parade or the two giant parades that we had relatively recently. We live in a different world now in 2026. Everybody has a phone. Everybody's on social media. Everybody wants to be a millionaire as far as a content creator. Everybody wants to be a superstar. Everybody wants to film them. So I tell this people all the time, hey, I want to get into business. What's your advice? My advice is you're coming in at a great time because it used to just be, well, there's six slots at WFAN. Good luck. It's like getting on the Supreme Court. Your chances are slim. But now, with podcasting, with Instagram, with TikTok, Facebook, I'm not really going to count. Once your mom and once your Aunt Rose and Uncle Louie got on Facebook, it's over. I mean, let's be honest. It became a situation where, yeah, you're on there because it's an OG. But TikTok, Instagram, all these YouTube, all these social media accounts, platforms that people, these content creators, that didn't exist the last time we had a parade in this town. So all those people are going to be out there as well, trying to get views and clicks and clout and aura and all that stuff. So that's going to add to the attendance on Thursday. That's something that we have not had at a parade. It was the early infant stages of the social media boom. The Twitter boom, the Instagram boom. Facebook had been around for a minute, but really Instagram and TikTok and YouTube, they've taken off since the last time we had a parade here across the four major sports. So now those individuals, whether it's their job, whether it's just themselves and it's their empire that they're trying to build, and more power to them, they are going to use this to create content because it's a championship, it's a parade, it's the first one in a while, it's the Knicks, it's a team that unifies this city, it's Madison Square Garden, it's all those things. There's just so much attention and focus on the Knicks right now. So if you're covering the Knicks, even if you're not a Knicks fan, if it's just for your own benefit, if it's self-serving, then it's still the place to be. It's certainly the place to be because all eyes are going to be on the Canyon of Heroes Thursday morning, starting at 10 a.m., maybe even a little earlier than that, and certainly going way past 2 o'clock, which is what I figure the parade will end around. You have the parade, a couple hours for that, then a little bit of a gap, then the keys to the city, all the speeches of the team, the ownership, upper management, coaching staff at City Hall. I would say for the whole ball of wax, you're looking at 4 hours, maybe a smidge over 4 hours. So figure right around 2:30, the parade will end. And then the party, as you know, in New York City, is just going to get started at that point. Streets are going to be packed. Bars are going to be packed. My advice to anybody that doesn't care about this and you have to go into the city to work, I wouldn't. I would take the day off or I would work from home. Maybe a half a day, but that's even dicey. I would just try to work from home. If you can't work from home, then I would probably just bang out and go to the parade, quite frankly, and just enjoy this because unless you are working in a situation where it's at a bar and obviously you're going to have huge business that day. But if you're in a place that's going to be slow and the parade is in town, then I would just take off because you don't want to deal with the traveling and the hoopla, especially if you're not interested in it on any level. But I'll be out there. I don't know how early, but early, because I'll certainly be on the air 2 a.m. the night before. So I get a couple hours of sleep, and then I'll head out there. They better have extra trains, by the way, on the Long Island Railroad. I would imagine they would. I know I'm saying that. They better. I would imagine there'll be extra trains. We're not going to have these trains be packed to the gills. 6 years ago, I couldn't get within 30 feet of people. Now, all of a sudden, we could be sardines? What happened?
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
That's all we need to is an uptick in people getting sick, and then we got to hear from people like Rosenberg. Well, you know what happened? Everybody was at the parade, and now we're all sick.
Super spreader event.
No, that's how you are. How, first of all, you stink. number one, not literally, but just in general. You are Debbie Downer. You're a dark cloud. You don't like to see other people happy. You see an event like this, and you hope for rain. You hope for high winds. You hope for people to get colds or the flu from going to that event. Sunburn. You're going to tell me about the UV rays or nine. I don't know why you're like this, but you are like this.
I don't wish
you claim to be a glue. Yeah, you claim to be a glue, but you love to point out these like negative. Be careful, negative statistics
realistic
are coming.
Rosie.
No, it's not realistic, Rosie.
I am the one that will tell it how it is.
No, it's not. No, you're not
like it.
No,
is.
It's not. We want to paint a rosy picture, I guess, pun intended here, and you want to come in and smear it. You're the same guy that told me in March we were going to get a snowstorm the likes we've never seen before. It came, it went, no snow, and you completely skipped the podium. You forgot you were tweeting about it. And remember, you tweeted that when it was like 80 degrees during March. You're telling me you're not a bad guy? You're not a bad person for doing that?
No.
Everybody's enjoying. It was a horrible winter. It was freezing. It was so nice on whatever it was. Let's call it March 6th. It was gorgeous. It might have even hit 90 degrees. That's how nice it was. And then you have the gall and the audacity to tweet out that you, because you looked at a couple of European models, which, by the way, when I think European models, I don't think weather, but apparently you do. You're checking out the European models that are usually, I think, hyperbolic, by the way, I found out, when it comes to weather. They root for the freaking snow. So you were looking at a model that roots for snow, and you had the audacity to tweet out during an 88-degree day off of one of the worst winters we've ever seen that, be careful, don't put those shovels away and because it's going to snow. Was that you? That was you.
That was me.
Yeah. And then you didn't apologize to anybody. You skipped
Actually,
the podium.
I did.
I made you.
No, I
made
did
you
on
apologize.
My own volition.
No. What the heck does that mean?
On my own volition.
No, not on your own volition. I brought it up to you, and as usual, you gave me that deer in the headlights look where you're, huh? And you had no idea that you tweeted it out. You had no idea.
This is absurd.
What's absurd?
And by the way,
you're being a bad person right now and a bad New Yorker, quite frankly.
I am not being a bad
person.
Yes, you are. I was rooting for the Knicks.
Super spreader.
Orange and blue skies, baby. I was rooting for the Knicks. When you say packed to the gills, are gills typically packed?
I have no idea. I've always heard that phrase, though. I've always heard packed
to the
gills.
I agree with you. Are
that
gills
you've heard
packed?
It before. I don't even know. I thought gills are on a fish. So maybe
I agree
with
that.
But no, I think gills are different. I don't think it's gills like a fish. I think it's probably an old phrase where gills was something else. It had a different, there was gills or something, and then when
like
it was
Gilberg?
No, not like Gilberg, dummy. Like gills were something that used to be, I don't know, look it up. What, instead of sitting there staring at me, look it up. Anywho, 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is a loogie in the late night here on the Fan. I assume we could take some calls here before we go to any type of we should start calling it here like they call it on the World Cup, and hydration break. Instead of, because it's a no-no in radio to say, oh, at least they'll tell you that. Don't ever, but I feel like that's kind of, see, I lift the curtain up for my audience. I don't try to be P.T. Barnum up here. You are not dummies out there. You understand that we take breaks on the radio. We have to pay the bills. So I could say whatever I want to try to act like we're not going to break, but you're smart. You know the clock. You know that I'm throwing to a break. So you realize commercials are coming up, which is great. We'd love for you to hang through the commercials always, and then we know you're going to be back. But the reason is that I've always been told, don't say break. Don't say break. Don't say you're going to break. Don't say you're going to break. So, okay, I won't say I'm going to break, which I normally don't because it's been drilled in my brain, even though I don't think it matters. We should start calling it a hydration break because that's what they call in the World Cup, because more often than not during the break, I, Thomas Lou Gower, the first of his name, well, actually not. My dad's name, then. But the second of his name.
Loogie!
That's right. I go for a hydration break during the breaks. I get some water. So maybe we should start calling him here, especially during the World Cup, we should start calling our breaks hydration breaks.
I like that idea.
Where are the cosmic brownies I asked for yesterday?
You didn't ask for them. It was only on open nights. You didn't ask for them. And by the way, I did some research. It's not packed to the gills.
Oh, boy.
It's stuffed to the gills.
Okay, but
it's an English idiom.
What's gills, though?
Meaning completely full, referring to a person who is overeaten or a container packed to maximum capacity.
Okay, but where does the word, I guess what I'm wondering right now is where does the word gills fit
into
this?
The phrase originated from borrowing its imagery from fishing. When a fish swallows its prey or stuff for cooking, that it's filled all the way to its head and gills.
Gotcha. So it is a reference to gills, which are on a fish,
yes.
And it's more stuffed to the gills.
Stuffed to the gills,
than
not packed.
Packed to the gills.
Correct.
Okay, I might have conflated two different phrases, but either way, it's to reference sardines like we are packed in these trains where, you know, 6 years ago we were told, hey, don't get within 100 people, and if somebody sneezes, report it to everybody. And now all of a sudden, you know, we don't have extra trains for an event that has 5 million people at it? Is that what you're telling me? Rosenberg, you're supposed to be on top of this stuff. You're my weather guy. You're my transit guy. What else are you? Oh, you're my ride everywhere, which is basically like my transit guy. I need you on top of these things.
I'm El Pegamento.
I'm sorry you're here. Hey, you're no use to me if you're not going to report the weather or things of nature to me like transit and things that will help us out at the parade and help out our audience. Millions of people are going to this. We need to be the place to give them the information.
You're my best friend.
Okay. Let's go to Phil in Sheepshead Bay. What's up, Phil?
Hey, Tommy. Hey. I want to say one thing.
Okay.
First of all, I have a friend that I know for over 50 years. He was a groomsman at my wedding. You know what this guy does? I forgot the term for it, but if you're going to a party, everyone's full of life. This guy could cast a spell on everyone to make them feel like, you know what? That's the guy you're dealing with over there. So I feel for you.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, you lost me on that one, Phil. Your buddy goes to a party and he casts spells on people? Or is he just talk to him?
No, no. Negative. What I mean is he's very negative.
Oh, gotcha.
He's always depressed. He can make a person depressed. You know what I mean?
Oh, listen to me, Phil. Rosenberg, and I do appreciate his friendship, I guess, but he is a dark cloud. If you're sitting at a blackjack table with him, he's got bad vibes. He's got bad posture. You drag him around everywhere. He's just always moaning and groaning. It's always the sob story. So, yes, Phil, your buddy and I guess my buddy are kindred spirits. Isn't it the worst, though, Phil? I mean, really, it's a
classic. My buddy is like a leopard. The spots on a leopard. He never changes.
Yeah.
And I just took him to a place where we had a very nice time at a Thai restaurant.
Nice.
And after all that, you know what he said at the end? It could have been better. I said, what the hell did I do this for him for?
Right, you do something. That's how Rosenberg is. You do something nice for him, and he either wants something more in return, or like, well, you know, it could have been better. It's just certain people are wired a certain way.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to make a few points. Number one, the Yankees. I think right now they're loaded for bear. There's a lot of maneuverability there.
Yeah.
Aaron Boone has to just be careful how he uses each guy.
No doubt.
Don't overuse them. I think they're going to try and get some other arms for the bullpen.
Absolutely. Last year, Phil, they'll get three arms for the bullpen. That's obviously been a weak spot for them this year.
Much like
they did last year, I think they repeat that, Cashman, though.
And I believe they're going to get one or two guys they'll pick up. Hopefully it'll be guys that put the ball in play. And that'll take care of the depth on the bench.
No doubt.
My final point is the parade.
Yes.
I'm trying to go there. I have 6 grandchildren. I think I spoke to you about this. Oh, no. You know who I spoke to? Gordon Damer.
No, you spoke to me about it, Phil. We spoke about this last night.
Okay, then I did.
Now, I don't know. Were you bringing or planning on bringing your 6 grandchildren to the parade?
Yeah. With my 2 sons, 2 kids each. The one in Jersey, I don't know. But we're going as a complete family. And we've been looking forward to this for the last 4 or 5 months. My good friend, who I won't mention, I'm not even going to tell him I'm going, because if he comes along, there goes the day down the drain.
Totally. Debbie Downer.
Totally is right.
Dark cloud, Phil. Absolutely. That's why I'm not inviting Rosenberg to the parade. And you shouldn't invite your friend either. We have no room at this parade, which is a celebration, which is just 53 years in the making for some, a lifetime for others. We don't need people there like your buddy, Phil, or like Rosenberg. Let me give you a quick story on Rosenberg. So Memorial Day weekend, a couple years ago, kick off the summer show down there. The whole station's down there. I'm obviously working on the afternoon show at that time. I forgot if it was with Evan and Tiki or if it was with Craig and Evan. But either way, Rosenberg was there because he is my driver. He is my Bobby Bacala to my Uncle Junior. You do what my nephew tells you to do. So he drove me there and back. And by the way, he gives me a ride, but I also open his world to DJs. We get to hang out. He gets to have a good time. So he's not sitting around staring at the 4 walls of his apartment. So when we're on the way back from there, because he's a 2-year-old, he's like, I got to get dessert. Okay. So we're driving around Jersey looking for dessert, and it's a late night. We spent a couple nights out there, and then we were driving home. It's kind of in the middle of the night to avoid traffic. He's driving around looking for dessert, and I'm just like, just get anything. No, I can't get anything. Gotta look for something. Okay, fine. So we go to a McDonald's. It's Memorial Day weekend. It's probably after midnight. McDonald's, somebody's just working there, trying to make ends meet, trying to get by, just working the night shift, and I could appreciate that, working a night shift. They're just trying to get through the weekend. It's usually a fun weekend. They're probably mad they have to work Memorial Day weekend. And here comes this chooch strolling into the drive-thru, and he doesn't order like a whole meal. He's just one of these idiots that orders a McFlurry, which is, can you get something else with it? So he gets the McFlurry, which obviously is the ice cream, and then they put either M&Ms or Oreos on top. In this instance, it was M&Ms. So Paul gets the McFlurry. He pays for it. He doesn't even drive away because he's such a gavone. He starts to eat the thing before he even drives away. And then by doing so, I believe, Paul, you ripped open the top and everything exploded everywhere, essentially.
No, I didn't rip open the top. The cover wasn't put on properly.
Gotcha.
And that is why I had M&Ms all over and all under the driver's seat of my car.
But you didn't have to take the cover over off, to be fair. I think you were probably
The cover, I didn't take it off. The cover popped off.
Okay, but you could have probably double-checked the cover to check their work and not taken for granted that they sealed it properly.
Their job, of course they sealed it properly.
Again, Memorial Day weekend, they're just trying to make ends meet, and they're probably miserable they're at work. It's a Memorial Day weekend. I'm not suggesting that they should be absolutely incompetent, but I think you could add a little more grace there. So anyway, Paul, who's like a 7-year-old, he has M&Ms all over him, which, by the way, he could have just picked up, put back in his ice cream, and went on his merry way. Or he could have just bit his tongue. Oh, not Paul Rosenberg. Before we leave the drive-thru, he stares at this person at the drive-thru and goes, "Be better." And then he pulls off. I'm like, "Be better?" I was mortified. Be better? Because they didn't tightly contain your ice cream? You're a 40-year-old man, practically. You're not 10. I can understand if a 10-year-old went after Mr. Softy because half the ice cream cone fell on the floor, and they said, "Be better," because they don't know any better. How rude could you possibly be to this person? Be better. Are you nuts?
I don't think that's being rude. I think, if anything, I inspired that person for future jobs. That you had to be better.
Yeah, you inspired them to quit so they don't have to deal with idiots like you at midnight because half of the McFlurry, or not even, a couple of M&Ms fell on your chest.
It was more than a couple.
And while I was in the car, you over-exaggerated.
I was not. Come on, be fair.
I am being fair. You weren't fair. Like I said, you inspired them to quit. It's Memorial Day weekend at midnight. Nobody is showing up at McDonald's. We were literally the only people there. So they're just trying to get through the night. And then here you come strolling in looking
for... She's got nothing to do. Get the one thing...
Does it matter if a couple M&Ms fell on the floor? You got to make somebody feel bad.
And it's the principle. Tighten the
cover. Your fellow human, you've never made a mistake.
Oh, I've made
And you'll be the
mistakes.
First one when you make mistakes. Like, wow, you blame it on the weather and the wind and you have a cold.
I'll put the hand of accountability.
You don't have a Y chromosome. One of your pinky toes is longer than the other. You're the king of excuses. You've heard anybody listening right now that's worked with me in Rosenberg. You've heard every excuse in the book. But this poor person at McDonald's that didn't 100% tighten the lid on a McFlurry and six M&Ms fell on Paul's lap where he could have just put it back in the ice cream. It was six. How many M&Ms do you think are in a McFlurry? 20 max?
The employee put a lot of M&Ms on top. And the issue is
McDonald's
McFlurry machines, they don't mix it anymore, so they dump all the toppings on top.
We don't need to. I don't care what your gripe is with McDonald's, quite frankly. My gripe is with you right now being a bad person and a bad human.
She's got nothing else to do but.
You needed to say, "Be better? Be better?"
Yes!
No! You're not her. Oh, I don't even remember if it was a female or male. You're not this person's father or their boss. Be better.
I'm a fellow human. I'm trying to inspire
them. I'm stunned.
Them.
You didn't ask for a freebie. Stunned. I'm stunned. Paul's the kind of guy that'll want 80 sweet and lows when he goes to a casino because he lost $100. Like, they owe him 80 sweet and lows. You know what I mean? He's one of those. Yeah, why don't you just pop on the Greyhound bus with the other 80-year-olds when you go back because they're looking for the free sweet and lows as well. I mean, honestly, this is what I have to deal with this guy. Do we need a break, by the way? Do we need a dehydration or a hydration break? I'm sorry. I know everybody's up there. They want to talk about the Knicks and Yankees, and we will get to everybody. I had a little bit of a tantrum there, but I want to point these things out because we all have friends like that. Phil has a friend like that. I have a friend like that. And a friend in need is a pest, as far as I'm concerned. 888-808-1019 is the phone number call. It is after hours. We got you till 2 a.m. By the way, special guest coming up at midnight, John Jastrzemski, my buddy. We'll talk Knicks, a lot to get into there. And John has joined me a couple times here on After Hours, and he will do so again at midnight. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. It is Lugie in the Late Night. Tommy Lugauer, After Hours here on The Fan. 1141 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer!
I think at one point, we're going to have to start talking about the weather for Thursday.
I hate you. Do we have an updated weather report, Rosenberg, on the weather? I'm hearing 20-mile-an-hour winds and rain, but I don't know if that's people just trolling me on the internet.
I think that it's actually going to get worse later in the day.
Okay, so windows 10 to 2, do you think we'll be good?
I think it actually might be okay for the parade. I will say this, it will be incredibly humid and uncomfortable. It is going to be 85 degrees pretty early and a lot of humidity because of the rains coming
in
later.
It's only been 75 degrees and beautiful for the last couple of days, so why wouldn't it be hot and humid? Listen, when it's a parade in June, you have to expect either a beautiful day like it's 80 or 75, but sometimes you do get the humid days, and we all know with humidity gets... storms are a part of that, or sometimes can be a part of that. So hopefully it's not too humid, hopefully it's not too windy, and hopefully if it does storm, that gets held off till later on that evening. And that's really my focus right now, and this Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. Parade on Thursday, I expect 3 million people bare minimum. I wouldn't be surprised if it got up to 5 million. I've laid out the reasons. 53-year drought. The Knicks are the team that unites this city. I mean, just look at the ratings. Knicks Spurs was the most watched NBA Finals, this is according to the NBA, since 1998, which of course was the Last Dance, Michael Jordan's last championship series. You also have people coming from all over the country and the world, you know, transplants. This is so special. It's a parade. We haven't had one across the four major sports in a long time. And think about it. The last time we had a parade, or all the parades that we can remember since the Rangers in 94, there wasn't this much, or if any, social media. People didn't have cameras on their phones. Not everybody was on TikTok or a content creator or Instagram or were trying to make big bucks and be famous by filming themselves. That didn't exist back then, or was very, very, very minimal. Now it's front and center. I mean, you see these videos everywhere of people aura farming and trying to be famous for either just to be famous so they could tell their friends, or they're trying to be famous so they can make some moolah. And I'm not hating on anybody for that. I'd make a paper, but... you have that now, too, to add to the attendance. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. All right, you've heard a lot from me. Now let's hear from you here on After Hours. Sean in Old Bridge. What's up, Sean?
What's up, Boogie?
Hey, what's going on?
I'm doing good. I got to say, when I saw the Knicks game, I was shocked. And I knew there was going to be a victory. I knew they were going to get finished that story. All in all, it was just a great series. No doubt about it.
Unbelievable. One for the memory books, for sure. One for the record books. One for the history books. All the books you can think of. It was a series and a night on Saturday that I know I and all Knicks fans are never, ever going to forget.
Yeah, that is true. And when I saw your reaction on YouTube, I was actually on it live. I saw it.
Nice.
And it was the best reaction I've ever seen that you do with Gallo.
Thank you. And what Sean is referring to, if you missed it, you could either go back on YouTube or you could go to all our social media platforms here at WFAN660. That's Facebook, that's Twitter, that's Instagram, or my Twitter account at Tommy Lugauer, Lugauer. And it's plastered all over the place. It's gotten a million views, so to speak. It's just been viral. So I appreciate you. Sean was one of the ones that saw it live, but I know a lot of you saw it post. But I appreciate you watching. Thank you.
No problem. Nope. That's the least I can do, because I watch the YouTube channel live, even for Evan and Tiki.
YouTube is it's another way, Sean. For and I appreciate the call as always, but it's another way for you in the audience to consume the.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Product. And I was on YouTube a lot in this run here, especially late in the finals after the games. And my understanding, talking to my YouTube people, is the plan going forward that After Hours will be on YouTube on a nightly basis. Now, we're not on YouTube tonight, but I didn't expect it immediately. But the plan at some point here going forward is for this show, After Hours, to be on YouTube on a nightly basis. So if you enjoyed the content on YouTube after these Knicks games, there should be more of that coming with yours truly nightly. So the five-hour Big Lugowski's coming on after Yankee games, the overnight that I do Sunday into Monday. At some point going forward, all of those shows will be live on YouTube. So it's just another way for you guys to take in content here that After Hours produces. And you get to see what I look like and what I'm wearing. And I got to tell you, I know everybody out there is like Joan Rivers, the fashion police. What I wear is always a big talking point on social media. And I got news for you. I tone it down a little bit for the show. I got some stuff in the closet that I could bust out that'll really turn the internet upside down. I've been listening to the fan for 50 years. This guy's ruining the fan. Why? Because I wore a floral shirt? That's ruining the fan? I doubt it. But I use a V-neck. A very tight shirt guy. But I have things in this closet and certain accessories I could wear that I haven't worn yet that the more I'm on YouTube, I will start to wear. Let's head out to Michael in Paterson, New Jersey here on After Hours. What's up, Mike?
I want to say Nick Point and then Yankees Point.
Of course. Nick Point, I want whatever order you want to go in, Mike. It's up to you.
Jalen Brunson. Am I crazy for saying that he's the most clutch player in the fourth quarter in NBA history?
NBA history now we're going. He's certainly up there. He's making a case for it. He's getting right up there. And if he continues on this path, I think he's going to be that guy for sure. But you also have to understand there's Michael Jordan. There's a lot of names that have been clutch in the fourth quarter. But right now, there's nobody clutcher than Jalen Brunson when it comes to the fourth quarter and crunch time.
And right now, we don't have to worry so much about the bullpen, but what I'm thinking is by the trade deadline, the only thing you have to worry about is maybe the bullpen. But I don't understand all the 100-rule pitch thing that Boone does. What's the problem? So he's going to go through 8 innings, then your bullpen won't be as full, whatever, as
yeah.
used up.
Michael, this is my theory here with the Yankees. I do think that Brian Cashman is going to add arms at the deadline, much like he did last year when he got Bird. When he got Bednar, when he got Duvall, I expect 3 arms to be added at the deadline. Now, when it comes to October, and if this were to happen, I think Aaron Boone would be to the moon. You have Schlittler, you have Cole, you have Fried. Those 3 aces, 3 number ones in the same rotation, which gives the Yankees a leg up over everybody. You're going to look to improve the bullpen, but the pitchers you acquire might not get it done. You don't know how they're going to perform in New York. If the bullpen is shaky, it would be a dream, and it's possible to get 8 innings out of those guys and then just have a 9th inning to overcome to get 3 more outs. Which, look, if you're going to win a World Series, you have to be able to get at least 3 outs from your bullpen. But you have 3 studs in that rotation, which is a major advantage for Aaron Boone. Sam is calling from Texas. What's going on, Sam?
Hey, I was listening earlier today. I couldn't get on, so I wanted to discuss it with you
and
hear what you thought. So on Evan and Tiggy, they were talking about if Evan was saying that Jalen Brunson has become a more iconic player in New York sports history than both Eli Manning and Derek Jeter, and Sean and Tiggy were saying that they're still both above Jalen Brunson because they both won more championships.
They won more championships, yeah.
But he said that, Evan said that they're more, that Jalen Brunson is more iconic because to get a Knicks championship took way longer and was more hard than all the Giants and the Yankees. So I wanted to know what you thought about it.
Oh, okay, and this is where Evan is coming from, and a part of me does agree with that. And I say this all the time about Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge, especially now where he's mid-30s, I think best case scenario, he gets 2 rings. That would be great if he get 2. I think he would settle for 1, but if he gets 2 rings, you call it a day. When you play for the Yankees and you win a ring, great. Everybody's excited. Everybody's thrilled. We have the ticker tape parade. Canyon of Heroes, but you got to remember, this is a franchise that's had Ruth, Gehrig, Mantle, DiMaggio, Reggie Jackson, Yogi, on and on and on. Obviously now Jeter, Rivera, even if you want to throw in Bernie, A-Rod, it's just, there have been so many legends that have played for this team and have won championships. And the Giants have won a ton of championships too. Now, what Eli did knocking off an undefeated team was very, very special. And that's where I would start to push back. And hold on a second. Eli beat an undefeated page. He beat Brady and Belichick. Here's where the Brunson championship will become more and more iconic. If Wemby and the Spurs win a whole bunch of championships, because then and I expect the Knicks, I've talked about this, I think they're going to win more with Brunson. I think they're on the verge of something very special. One could call it a dynasty. But if this Spurs team has a lot of success, then the Wynn will look even better because Brunson beat Wemby. He beat the Spurs, and then that team went on to win multiple championships. Just like Eli knocking off Brady and Belichick twice means a lot. Now, it got hurt a little bit by the Eagles beating him and so on, but that matters, who you beat. So I understand, and that's why I think Jalen Brunson is the king of New York. I'd have to chew on that one for a little bit longer, but I it's hard for me, and now obviously I'm trying to take my fandom away from it, but it's hard because I'm not a Yankee fan, but I am a Giant fan, and that Eli Manning to Tyree, that Super Bowl was so special, and this was so special to me too, and was the second championship was so special as well. But here's the deal, because I know Evan like a book. He is trying to make people like me and others choose between their children. He's trying to make everybody uncomfortable. He's trying to make other people the bad guy. This is the way he operates. That's Evan. He's slick when it comes to stuff like this. He knows what he's doing. He's a smart guy at some things. At other things, he's not. But at this, he is. So he's trying to... By the way, what was that DeGrom Brunson stuff? The internet got all mad at that. I love Jake, but give me... come on. Is he trying to say that Evan was trying to say he's more iconic than Brunson? I got to talk. Remind me, somebody leave me a note and remind me to talk to Evan about that when I see him next. Maybe he misspoke. Maybe it's just one of those digital graphic things that we do or whatever. And it was a passing comment or I don't know. But I know that it got a lot of comments on it. So I'm like, oh boy, Evan pissed everybody off. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Real quick here, Michael's in Queens.
Hey, Tommy.
Hey, what's up?
By the way, you're obviously the best on the fan.
Appreciate you, bro. Real quick, because I know you have a question here, but I got a hydration break coming.
No, so I just heard you. You said the reason why the Knicks won was because of Sidney Sweeney was there at Game 5 in Knicks gear.
Yeah, that's exactly why they won. I was on the air and live on YouTube, and Sidney Sweeney was all decked out in Knicks gear. If you thought the Knicks were losing that night, no shot in hell. With a combination of Positive Tommy on the greatest radio station ever and Sidney Sweeney decked out in Knicks gear, that is a tandem that will never, ever, ever be beaten. 888-808-1019. It is After Hours. It is Positive Tommy. Lugie in the late night here. Joining me next, John Jastrzemski, my buddy, SNY, New York podcast. That's coming up at midnight. We'll talk Knicks.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.